We are, of course, facing or rather focusing on that case that is happening in the North Gauteng High Court. Now, the prosecution's boss, Sean Abrams, is fighting to keep his job. He's facing legal claims that he was unlawfully appointed. Now, the former National Director of Public Prosecutions, Mxolisi Mxashana, told the North Gauteng High Court earlier today that he was forced from his position. He has agreed to give up his 17 million rand golden handshake and returned to his post. Mxashana disputed President Jacob Zuma's version that he had asked to leave his position. He said that President Zuma lied under oath about how he left his position as South Africa's most powerful prosecutor. Corruption Watch and Freedom Under Law approached the court in Pretoria to review and set aside Mxashana's 17 million rand settlement package. They want Mxashana to pay back the money and be reinstated as the head of the National Prosecuting Authority. Now, joining me on the line to discuss the matter is the Executive Director at Freedom Under Law, Nicole Fritz. Now, Nicole, you lost an important battle this afternoon when the affidavit of Mr. Mxashana was, of course, denied because he had submitted it late. Is this a setback for you? And if so, you know, where do you go from here? How do you proceed?
So obviously disappointing that his affidavit wasn't admitted before the court. The affidavit makes clear that he maintains that the president is lying when he says that Mr. Mxashana requested to leave the post. But it's not fatal to our case in any way. What initially happened is when we brought the application, there was discovery. We only got partial disclosure of correspondence relating to that settlement agreement. Mm. It was through sort of communication with Mr. Mxashana that we came to be aware that there was much more correspondence that pertained to the settlement negotiations, and that, in fact, seemed to have been withheld from us. And so we made a special petition for further disclosure. We then got those documents. Those documents, we believe, very clearly, even without the affidavit of Mr. Mxashana, make clear that the president's version cannot be believed, that Mr. Mxashana was essentially forced out of his position and was essentially induced to do so by the payment of 17 million rand.
Now, the explosive contents of that affidavit that wasn't allowed is, of course, you know, it really makes one's hair stand on end. And one of it is, of course, the fact that the president is said to believe that Mr. Mxashana was going to be intent on prosecuting him because he was, of course, in touch with Bulalani Ngcuka. Take us through what is in this affidavit that wasn't admitted today, Nicole.
So, as you indicate, Mr. Mxashana suggests that there was essentially a plot to have the president view his appointment with anxiety, in that he couldn't be trusted not to proceed with prosecution against the president. That Zuma's lieutenants, in fact, were under threat, namely Nkobo Jiba and Richard Ndluli. But the affidavit also goes step by step through the particular sort of negotiations, the details of the negotiations that were entered into, that the president at some point and his lawyers essentially threatened Mr. Mxashana with a disciplinary process, to revert to the disciplinary process rather than making payment. And Mr. Mxashana says, his lawyers say, sure, I mean, essentially, let's go for it. He wants the opportunity to clear his name. And I think those details are, the minutiae of those details are so overwhelming in terms of bearing out Mr. Mxashana's version, which was that he wanted the opportunity to fulfill the role as National Director of Public Prosecutions, and that he was prevented from doing so.
And we now see that Mr. Zuma concedes that Mr. Mxashana was, in fact, fit to hold office.
Well, it's not a concession, because essentially part of that settlement agreement, and Mr. Nkosana always insisted upon this, was that there'd be an acknowledgement that he was fit and proper, that he had conducted himself with conscientiousness. So that's not a concession that is new. That was always part of the settlement, and that was what Mr. Nkosana had insisted upon, because there had been these attempts to impugn his reputation.
Now, Nicole, the implications of this case, if Mr. Nkosana wins, then of course Sean Abrams is out of a job. We will have a Menzi Simelane situation. And does it then follow that, Mr. Nkosana gets reappointed?
So it doesn't follow. That's the relief that we're seeking. So the relief that Corruption Watch, Freedom Under Law, and KSAC are seeking is essentially the reviewing and setting aside the decision to remove Mr. Nkosana, and that essentially that removal is then void. So it's a return to the situation ex ante. So as if he were never removed. So he would then be the incumbent. That there would then have been no vacancy, and Mr. Abrahams couldn't have been appointed to a position that essentially was still filled. But we're saying that even if a court, is unwilling to go that far, that essentially it holds that the position is now vacant. Mm. That the president, given the conflict of interest he has personally, that he faces criminal charges, the prospect of criminal charges, that conflict is rendered even more acute given the recent Supreme Court of Appeal decision in the spy tapes, where they hold that the decision to withdraw the charges against him is invalid. So that the head of the NDPP is going to have to actually apply his mind or her mind to whether to reinstate those charges. Given that conflict of interest, the president it would not be constitutional for him to make any decision pertaining to the appointment or suspension of the head of the NPA, and that those powers must be given to the deputy president.
It's an incredibly far-reaching case, whichever way one looks at it. It's coming up for 9:15. This is, of course, the Karima Brown Show. You're listening to 702. I'm in conversation with Nicole Fritsch. She's the Executive Director of Freedom Under Law. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we continue to look at what the implications are, not just for the position of National Prosecuting Authority, but for President Jacob Zuma himself, if this case in any way goes Mr. Nkosana's way. I am, of course, in conversation with Nicole Fritsch. She is the executive director at the Freedom Under Law Foundation, an NGO. We are talking about the case of the former NPA boss, Mxolisi Nkosana. He's, of course, arguing that he be reinstated. The president, of course, opposing it, saying that he had asked to be removed. The merits and demerits being heard in the North Gauteng High Court. Now, Nicole, the point that you made before we went to the break, that the president can't mediate in this issue or appoint in this issue because he is implicated and he is directly impacted upon. This is not the first court case where we see this. We see in the issue of the president trying to have the public protector, former public protector's report, set aside on not wanting to implement the remedial action. The same thing. Now, the president has enormous powers. The president gets to appoint judges for Judicial Commission of Inquiries. It appoints the NDDP head. It appoints the Hawks head. It appoints the commissioner for police. Is this another instance, an example of the enormous presidential powers that President Jacob Zuma has? And, of course, I don't think anyone who crafted these powers ever thought that the president would, in fact, be almost accused number one in most of the most egregious kind of cases that we could possibly have in the country.
Yeah. Look, it is clear that in terms of our constitution, the president does have enormous powers, but the constitution also provides that in circumstances where the president is absent from the republic or where he is otherwise unable to carry out his constitutional obligations, then another office bearer must carry those functions out, and that is generally the deputy president. And we're saying, given the personal conflict of interest that the president faces, that he is so implicated, he is unable to carry out his constitutional obligations, and the constitutional provision, which then deems that the deputy president must act in his stead, should apply.
Now, we have the same situation that's being argued in the case of the state of capture report, that the president should ought not to appoint the commission, the Judicial Commission of Inquiry, that it ought to be the deputy president. I mean, do you think that you have a strong case in law? And you know, if you don't get the relief that you seek, what do you do next?
So, I mean, obviously, we're bringing this case believing that we do have a very strong case to make. At this stage, the case is being argued before the North Gauteng High Court, as you've said. If we weren't to prevail at this stage, then we would need to consider whether we would take the matter up on appeal. But, you know, at this point, we think we've made the argument very compellingly. Counsel addressed the court today. There'll be responses from the presidency and Mr. Abrahams tomorrow. And then once we get a judgment from the court, we will then need to deliberate as to where we go. But we're certainly hopeful at this point that we will prevail.
Now, just the duration from, you know, your experiences, how long do we see this process? And of course, I mean, it's almost inevitable that President Zuma will appeal if he should lose.
No, absolutely. And that seems to be his modus operandi generally, yes, to protract the process as long as possible.
Now, the implications of another kind of long drawn out appeal is obviously not going to throw you out. But what happens in the meantime? I mean, does it? We see in the case involving the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, where the full bench of the Pietermaritzburg High Court ruled that the provincial structure there is wholly illegal. It's now going to be appealed. There's a move to seek an enforcement order to, in fact, have the ruling enforced pending the outcome of the appeal. Is that something you can do in this instance, depending on considering how high the stakes is, or would it just be the normal process again, where the president appeals, the situation remains as is until, you know, the matter goes to the Supreme Court of Appeal and probably invariably ends up in the Constitutional Court?
So, Karima, again, I think we would need to make, you know, we would make those deliberations once we obtain judgment. But, I mean, it, you know, in the case that was brought against Bernie Nhlamaza,
yes,
head of the Hawks, we did seek an order for immediate enforcement. Mm-hmm. So those are not provisions that you know, we haven't used in previous times, and certainly they would be provisions that we would look at the time the order came down.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, this payout of 17 million is a lot of money. Mr. Nkashana said that he will pay that money back. You confident that he will pay that settlement back?
Well, as I said, he has made that application. It is unfortunate that his affidavit wasn't admitted before court today, but it is very clear that he has sought to assist the court with as comprehensive a version of events as he can. I think there is a sense that this is a public servant who feels that his integrity has been unjustly impugned, that he wanted the opportunity. And I think that comes through very much in his negotiations with the presidency and the president's lawyers, that he wanted the opportunity to perform the functions as director of the public prosecutions. And so our sense is that he understands that if there were any chance for him to be reinstated, that settlement would need to be repaid.
Yeah.
So we are fairly confident that would happen.
All right. That's where we will have to leave it. Of course, Nicole Fritz is the head of the Freedom Under Law Institute. She is, of course, the executive director there, and they are a party in the case. We will be watching that situation very closely. The case continues tomorrow. We're going